Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, the dangle. Hi everyone, this is Mike, and welcome to Career Tools. Today we're going to talk about a technique called the dangle. If you're in the job market, it's likely you may have this thrown at you, and it'd be good to know how to deal with it. Here we go. We talked to a lot of folks, and one thing that just seems clear to us, at least, is that most people think that interviewing and, by extension, recruiting and job changing in general is a complete black box to them, right?
Yep.
And they understand the inputs in a way that's us.
Us, the people, yeah.
Right. And then they observe the outputs, you know, whether someone gets a job or not, and they have no idea what happened in between those two events.
Yeah. When I first told somebody it was like a black box, I saw their eyes light up. Yeah, that's exactly it. I trust it. I know something's going to come out, but I can't predict it. And I don't know what goes on inside it. And it seems like nobody wants to talk about it from the other side of the fence. Yeah. For manager tools and really even more, you know, career tools on the career tools side of things, it's frustrating that it is a black box. We hope in the next couple of years to dispel a lot of the myths and misunderstandings that make up the fact that it's a black box. Frankly, the fact that interviewing and career processes are so black box-like, if you will, makes the transition part of the talent market incredibly inefficient. An inefficient market for talent means too many false negatives, people being told no who should get hired, and, for that matter, too many false positives, people who are getting hired who shouldn't. And whenever that happens, that increases the chances that someone will engage in behaviors later that makes the market even more inefficient at times. And those inefficiencies, I think to some degree due to the unknown nature, that black box nature of it, means that there are many more what I call Romeo and Juliets.
People that ought to be together that aren't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, companies and candidates that ought to be together. And, you know, at the end of the, you know, right before the end of Romeo and Juliet, they were both alive and they wanted to be together. And man, that sure ended badly.
This cast has taken a decidedly dark turn here.
Yeah. But this is one of those areas where the power is clearly on the side of the hirer, so much so that they benefit from it being a black box. And frankly, we think that even if they didn't like us, and we told everybody what to do and how to do it and why it works that way, in the end, they may not like us doing it. In the end, it would end up better for everyone.
Right. Yeah. And one of those inefficiencies is, quote unquote, the dangle. And we're going to talk about that because it happens more often than probably we'd like. And
yeah,
again, it's one of those black box things. Nobody's talking about how do you handle it? What do you do when you get given the dangle?
In fact, I just assumed when I first started hearing about it years and years and years ago, I was stunned at how well it worked as a recruiting technique, and then how later it really didn't help the relationship. It didn't help the company. It didn't help the candidate who ended up getting hired. So, yeah, it is definitely an inefficiency.
Yeah, and it works particularly poorly when the recipient of the dangle doesn't understand it. If you understand it, if you get given to it and you understand it, then it has less harm. But if you don't understand
it, yeah,
it's harmful. So today we're going to talk, really, it's a pretty simple cast. We're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about what is the dangle. We've used the term, but we haven't really defined what it is yet.
Right.
And how does it happen?
Right.
And then we're going to talk about our key guidance, which is simply ignore the second job.
Yep.
That will become clear once you know what the dangle is. And then third, we're going to talk about how to respond. Just three simple points today. So let's get right to it. What is the dangle and how does it happen?
The dangle is simply a recruiting technique whereby a candidate is persuaded to interview for a job while being promised that they'll be shortly promoted to a higher job once they get hired. When executives want to hire a manager or another executive, there's an assumption that the person being interviewed will want opportunities for promotion. One of the most important things in becoming CEO is clearly wanting it, right? This could be done by a manager, right? While recruiting an individual contributor, it could be, but it is much more likely to happen to a manager being recruited by an executive or to an executive being recruited by a more senior executive. It tends to happen much more at higher levels.
Right. But it can happen for individual contributors. For example, somebody, a coder could be interviewing for a development job, a coding job, and be told, hey, if you do well here, really just come in here for like 3 months and then you get to be a designer or an analyst.
Yeah, exactly. You get to be is a classic phrase. Yes. If you hear that, I'm bringing you in for A, but really pretty quickly, I'm going to make you B, or you get to be B, or you get to be A promoted, then that is a sign that you're being dangled.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So again, the dangle is just simply a way to incent people to come interview, to make your job look better than somebody else's, because you want the candidate to think, I'm not really interviewing you for the job I'm going to give you. I think you're so good. That job is a cakewalk for you. It's easy. It's no problem. I see you as in the next higher job up, but I can't really give you that job. So you've got to work with me and take the job I'm hiring you for, knowing full well that I have the ability to get you into the higher level job, and I will. And I'll tell you, flattery is very effective based on my experience.
Yeah, I like Dangle. It works well with me.
Yeah. So here's what happens. An executive meets somebody they're impressed with. Usually it's a time when they're actively recruiting, as opposed to simply meeting somebody and saying, wow, here's somebody from my bench that I think I can hire. And the reason we say that is because if Mike was interviewing me and is thinking about trying to excite me about the opportunity by suggesting I could quickly, really, almost by default, really, get promoted, he is very likely of the mindset that both of the positions, the one he's going to hire me for and the one he's going to promote me into, are either available or likely to be available. If that's the case, if there are two positions that are even potentially open, no intelligent executive wouldn't be recruiting. And so this tends to happen much more so in the case where there's active recruiting going on. And how it happens is really simple. The hiring executive, as I said, is attempting to persuade the candidate to be ready to accept an offer. The way the executive does this is by saying something to the effect of, look, I can technically only bring you into this role, the lower one, based on where you are in your present job. But I'm really recruiting you for this higher job, which I know you can do based on what I've seen of you. So look, just know that you're being brought in for bigger and better things. Again, I can't technically promise you anything, but hey, I know you're good. There's no doubt in my mind right now. You'll be my next person in that higher job.
Yeah. Like you said, and we can assure folks here, this is powerful stuff, right?
Right. Okay. Let's be clear, though, about something. You're totally right. If you're listening to this cast right now and you're saying, well, that doesn't sound all that powerful. Okay, good. And yet, we've been watching this for 20 plus years, and we've seen candidate after candidate after candidate believe they're being recruited for the second job. You can sit there and logically say to yourself, that doesn't sound all that enticing. Believe me, we've known people just like you who would have said the same thing until it happened to them, and then they behave as if that second job is a sure thing.
You're right. I mean, the typical manager who wants to be an executive hears this pitch from the executive who's recruiting her, and then she stops thinking about the job that they're going to be filling, and only has eyes for that big job, for the one that's gets them all excited, the job they're going to, quote unquote, be promoted into.
Right.
It's exciting, and the technique works. And because the technique works, recruiters use it. Executives and managers use it when they're recruiting.
Second rule of the army, if it's stupid but it works, it's not stupid. Okay, so just to make it clear again, the dangle is recruiting somebody for one job with the promise of a higher job being a given shortly after the recruited candidate joins the firm. And by the way, how well does it work? It works so well that when the recruiting executive says, or the recruiting manager says, hey, look, I'm putting you in this job, but you're going to be promoted to the other one. Now, technically, I can't promise to you, of course, you've got to perform. The moment that's said, and you essentially say, this is really just a persuasive effort, all bets are off once you get hired, or that's hinted at, the recruited person still goes, yeah, yeah, I understand, while saying to all their friends and spouse, gosh, they're recruiting me for this bigger job. Most managers in this situation are sold, that is to say, they're persuaded to look at the higher job. And frankly, what happens is we forget to do the standard due diligence of comparing the job they have, the one we're in now, with all of its goodwill, all the lack of family disruption and so on, and we begin to think that the second job is the one we should compare rather than the first job.
Right. Yeah. And what they miss, and we got to cover it here, which is that dangle that they got given is not a guarantee. It's not. We promise you, this isn't a mistake. Those recruiting executives using the dangle, they know what they're doing. They are counting on us getting excited, right? This they didn't just accidentally do this. They're counting on us getting excited about that second job, about starting that second job. We start thinking we are being recruited for the second job, even though we know intellectually that we're going to have to do that lower level job.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee. It really is a persuasive effort. It's a sales job. Sure, of course. Look, if you're out there thinking, hey, they wouldn't offer me a job that they didn't control, right? Right? Okay, sure. You're right, they wouldn't. But of course, they haven't either.
No, they haven't.
They're not offering you that second job. They're offering you the first job. They didn't say there was any guarantee. So probably we're just so excited about that second job, we don't really hear all their words precisely because we don't want to. Yeah. So, okay. And one more thing. For those of us who would say, well, I know it's not a guarantee. No one could really guarantee me a job, but I don't need that. I just love knowing I'm first in line for the promotion once I get hired.
Oh, that's a problem.
Yeah, because you're not first in line. Despite all of our best, all of the best beliefs of that hiring manager, we're sorry. Even if they give us their word, it doesn't matter. The day we start, we're in the running with everybody else. If a dangle has been offered to you, that second job linked to the first one you're being recruited for, it's highly likely that the job you're being considered for is one that is part of the firm's succession planning matrix. It doesn't matter that both positions may in fact be in the division of the executive who recruits you. Many executives, not just the one who's recruiting you, but many other executives in the firm might have someone right for the second role, and your recruiting boss doesn't even know it, and she is very unlikely to resist the succession planning system that exists in her firm. The bottom line is the dangle is ephemeral. It's a recruiting tactic. Yes, the executive recruiting you believes it's so. And we're not saying you shouldn't do this, but they also assume you know, here's a key phrase, they also assume you know it's a technique as opposed to a guarantee.
Yeah. Now, we've got one caveat to our guidance here, but it's so exceptionally rare. We hope you understand it really doesn't apply to you.
Yeah, it's an exception, but it doesn't apply to you.
and if it applies to you, you're going to know it, but if you're a senior executive and the promotion position is guaranteed to you in writing as part of your employment contract, which also cites specific damages or failure to follow through on the part of the offering firm, then it's probably not a dangle. It's a contract.
Yeah. And look, since this would never happen to someone as a part of their first executive employment contract, if you've never had an executive employment contract, which, by the way, would include you probably hiring an executive compensation consultant to advise you, then this exception most assuredly does not apply to you. If you haven't had an executive compensation contract, then it doesn't apply because you wouldn't have this kind of second job promised to you in your first executive compensation contract. Simple. Because 50 years ago, this wasn't true, but now it's very true that at the senior levels, executives are negotiating pay and they're signing contracts. And in fact, there are situations now where companies that are struggling are losing executives and they're obligated by contract. They literally have liabilities on their books that when the executive leaves, the executive has to get, she has to get $20, $30, $40 million. And it's outrageous to people. And yet, it's a contract, and executives do it simply because they're afraid that if they try a lot of risky things and get fired, they'll be out on their ear. What's sad about that is that years ago, executives did that anyway because they thought it was the right thing to do. But now they want to be given a long kiss goodbye, so to speak. So anyway.
Okay, so now we understand what the dangle is. What do we do? How do we handle the dangle?
Yeah, look, it's easy. There's nothing wrong with being flattered that a recruiting executive feels that we're capable of not only the job they're recruiting us for, but also for that promotional opportunity. Look, we would probably think that after we'd been there 6 months, right? But our approach should never be governed by how flattered we are. The solution is to ignore that second job completely. That second job, really, in terms of the recruiting process, doesn't exist. It is a sales technique. The great executive that we can really see ourselves working for is doing nothing wrong by making her job look as appealing as possible. We can't get caught up in thinking about that second job because there's no guarantee for it. We've got to focus exclusively on that first job. We interview for the first job. We must, if we are offered, compare only the first job to the job we have now. We must eliminate any thoughts of the second job from our thinking as we go through the interview process, the offer process, and our decision process. And if in the end, the first job is enough to compel us over, then we accept. But we don't accept because the second job exists, because it always exists.
Good. Okay. So, okay, we ignore it. So how do we respond during the process? How do we behave ourselves during the interviewing process when this dangle is put in front of us? What's the best way to handle it?
I think probably what we should have said is ignoring the second job is really the fundamental principle that to apply here. But now let's get into a little bit more details, right? I did have one person say when a guy was in Seattle, actually, and was being interviewed for a job in Dallas, and he called me, he was totally excited. He says, "Man, I finally got the dream job that I wanted, blah, 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 blah." And he started describing it. I said, "Man, that's a dangle." And he said, "What?"
Right.
And I explained it. I basically gave him this cast.
Yeah.
And he said, "Oh, well, then I won't go." And I said, no, gee whiz, go. There's nothing wrong with going forward. This is a well-used, well-known recruiting sales technique. It's not unethical. There's nothing about it that's unsavory in a way that we should walk away from someone who uses it. So when you think you're being dangled, it's totally fine to move forward and see if you can't get an offer for that initial job. You're going to be a better candidate because you know this, and you're able to ignore that second job.
Right. But your role, what you're going to be playing, is the first job, not the second job.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That leads us to our second point here in terms of responding is stay humble. That is our role here. You can't be thinking or dreaming and certainly not talking about that second job as you go through the recruiting interviewing process, right? You don't go into the second interview. Say you got out of the interview with the person who gave you the dangle, and then you go into the second interview with someone else completely different and start talking about that second job. Oh my God.
Yeah.
The hiring executive assumes we know our role here. Their role is to hire great people, and they get some leeway when they want to excite us about how well they think we're going to be able to work in their firm. By the same token, our role is to interview for that first job to help the recruiting executive prove to everyone at their firm that we are as good as they say we are.
Yep. Do not talk about the promotional opportunity at any time during the recruiting process. The hiring executive expects this. They assume we know that we're supposed to keep their suggestion, their hint, their promise between us and them. They're counting on us to earn the promotion. They won't give us the promotion if we don't earn it. They're simply saying, when they dangle, "I believe, I know you can earn it." But their knowing that we can earn it is different from us actually earning it. They're counting on us to earn it after we get hired. Which, even if they had guaranteed it, again, they would assume that we would do them the courtesy of putting up numbers and performance that would allow them to easily give us the job they'd already promised us.
Right. And if a conversation ensues between the offering executive who put that dangle out there with another manager who interviewed you, and the topic of the second job comes up, you're going to be embarrassed.
Yes.
Because the executive is not going to say to the other interviewing manager, "Oh yeah, I threw that out there." No, there's going to be conversation about your lack of propriety and making assumptions about future opportunities. That's what's going to happen.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. So stay quiet, ignore that second job, get the first one, and this, let the second job happen after you earn it, because the guy or gal who hired you essentially believes you can do it, and so therefore you can.
Yeah. So forget about the second job. Interview for the first job.
Yeah. Stop worrying about the second job. It's only something you're going to be considered for after you prove that you can do the first one. Don't expect that person interviewing you to talk about the second job. If you're being dangled, the person who is dangling you will not be your boss in your first role.
Yeah. How could they be, right?
Yeah, because if they were, that would then imply that they're going to give you one of their peers' jobs, which I can't imagine their boss would be all that happy about, right?
Right, exactly.
They're offering you a promotion after you get hired. And again, see, they're not going to promote us to be their peer. No. What this means is that people who will be interviewing you will include people who report to the executive who is recruiting you. And they would then be your peers when you, quote, got promoted. I mean, just imagine interviewing somebody for a job one level below you and having them talk in the interview as if it's a done deal about them becoming your peer.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
I mean, to assume one that you've got the position locked, we've already talked about that, that you're not first in line, despite what you may think you've been told, you're not first in line. And it would be reasonable to assume that the person who ultimately, if you got promoted, would be your peer, also is in the running for the job, or at least thinks they're in the running for the job.
Yep.
And to talk to them as if they're not doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. And then lastly, what we've got to do is we've got to decide, well, there's a couple of points here, but we've got to decide based on the first job rather than the second job. Whatever we do, we cannot let that second potential job sway our decision about the job we're being offered, the job we're interviewing for, the job we'll have to do, and the job which we'll have to perform well in to give the recruiting executive the proof she needs to promote us per her comments to us. We have seen too many executives make a bad decision based on the second and the future job. And there are really two dangers here. One is that what we think the timeline ought to be, based on the fact that we've already been talked to about this second job, is much faster than 90% of the executives we know can actually make it happen. Therefore, if we get too focused on the second job and we begin to get impatient a little bit, and maybe we get a little bit bitter, that's not going to be good. It's just not.
Yeah. And the second problem is that it's harder to get promoted at a new company than it is at our existing company, all things being equal. And as you say, Mark, they never are.
Right. But
most executives or future executives feel that promotions are slower than they like in their own firm. We feel like, you know, we feel like we've earned it, right? And by the time the promotion actually comes, well, we're a little disappointed because it took too long.
Right.
Fine. Well enough. Okay. But that said, it's probably the same at the new firm. But now you have none of the goodwill that you've built up at your existing firm. And when some EVP has to okay the promotion, perhaps, and she doesn't know us at all at our new firm, well, guess what? Things go more slowly. And again, then many of us get frustrated. And then that, unfortunately, negatively impacts our performance there at our new job, which is the very air cover our recruiting executive needs for us to get the job she has dangled out in front of us.
Yep. Our belief that we're going to get the job actually works against us getting it because we're essentially putting the promise in front of our performance. Yeah, exactly. And so what that leads us to is our last point, which is we've got to keep quiet about this. It's not a conspiracy. We're simply saying if you're going to get promoted for the vast majority of positions in the world, you're going to earn it. And the earning it doesn't come because somebody promises it to you. It's because you put up numbers and performance to justify it. That said, it's probably unnecessary for us to spend a lot of time here. I think we've really touched on it. But we want to make this clear. The dangle that has been proffered to us is private, okay? It may be well-intentioned. They do, in fact, mean that they can see you doing the next job, that they know you're going to do this job well, although they assume you're going to prove them right before they have to promote you, right? It may come from someone who actually has the ability to pull it off, but it's still private. from the offerer's perspective, the hiring executive, there's a lot of work to be done, even if we do our part through performance. If we decide, and so hopefully it goes without saying that if we decide not to interview or not to accept an offer, either one, then the dangle never happened. It was made in private. It was only to us. And if we were to be open about it, that says something about us, definitely. People want to brag and say, well, I went over there, but they were offering me both jobs, really. It makes us look good. But it also says something about the hiring firm that is essentially based on our relationship with the hiring executive. So it's frankly unprofessional to be open with others about what was offered or what was said. Look, if you get dangled, focus on the first job. If you want to include a little bit of feeling, wow, he really or she really likes me, great. But do your analysis, your apples to apples analysis against the first job and recognize that getting that second job is just like getting promoted anywhere. You have to put up the numbers and the performance. It's not going to be handed to you. And if you start thinking it's going to be handed to you, you're going to be much more likely to accept a job and much less likely to do good in it because you believe the second job is already yours. And we don't want that to happen to you.
No, definitely not. Good. Okay. That was simple. What is the dangle and how does it happen? We talked about that. And the key guidance is just simply to ignore the second job.
Yep. And then we walk through how to respond.
There you go. All right, my friend.
Thanks, partner.
Thank you. Well, that's it for this week. Hope you enjoyed it. I hope you got something useful out of it. Hey, if you know somebody who's having a difficult time or out of work or struggling with their career, hey, do us a favor and tell them about Career Tools. We think we can help, and the way people find out about us is through folks like you. Thanks, and we'll see y'all again next week. So long.